Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Now we're just going to visit our three friends this morning. Our three ways you can live life and use it as a platform for what I believe God wants to do today, what he wants to do in our lives. I just need to be really honest with you this morning, okay? Some of the difficulties there are in leading people, and because if you're a leader, you have to lead yourself first. You have to lead your own life first. Same for you. If we're going to affect and influence anybody, you have to be leading in your own life first of all. We can't expect other things to happen through our lives if we're not leading in our own lives. We're not living something or living in the way that God wants us to. So I've kind of been a bit stirred over the last few days about this morning and what I believe God wants to not just say but do in us. So what I'm going to share this morning, what I believe God wants to bring and do, is in line and in link with what Pastor Colin brought about 2 weeks ago. Phenomenal message. If you haven't heard it, you need to go online to the listen and watch and listen thing on the website and check out that word. It's a phenomenal word. We have a call upon our lives as Kingdom Faith. And if God's called you to be here, then you're part of this call. I won't use the royal we, I'll just make it personal. I want us as Kingdom Faith to be everything that God has called us to be. We don't have time just to play church. We don't have time just to turn up and give God the fag end of our lives. Not just this church, any church that is on the planet. God has a mandate, a purpose for to serve him, to love him, to know him, to glorify him, to be passionate about him, to want to be like him, to want to have the character of Jesus, just bursting through the life of every church. That's his heart for us. So I don't know if that's your heart for God. I hope this is where we're going to go this morning. So this isn't a rebuke, this is just a prodding stick in my own life with what God's doing and for all of us as a church. We have a mandate as Kingdom Faith. There's other churches that have got mandates. Whatever God wants to do through them, we've just got to be true to who God's called us to be. So we have a mandate upon our lives to be a revival people. To be a people who seek God first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness first before anything else in our lives. We might be called into different spheres of life, different areas of business, society, the community, wherever we work, wherever we are, we're called to be in those places because God wants to bring his kingdom in those places. Anybody agree with that? But right at the heart of any one of our lives, no matter what we do, wherever we are in the seasons in our life, as a believer, as a Christian, if we look at what the Bible talks about a real believer and a Christian to be, at the heart of every Christian believer is a passionate, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Anybody want that more than you have at the moment, okay? So I hope this message this morning is going to prod you and even possibly upset you in the right way. I don't mean offend you, upset you, but I mean just upset the equilibrium in your life. And where you're at this moment, you might be gunning it with God and everything might, you might be, whoa, I don't know if it could be any better. There's always more with Jesus, right? You might be feeling, oh, I don't know where I'm at. Good, because you need a bit of stirring up then, okay? Because we've got to be who God's called us to be. We must be the people he's called us to be. Now, we're not going to save a community, a nation on our own. It takes the church to do that, right? But we've got to play our part in terms of who we are. So we can't faff around in our lives. We can't give God the butt end, the fag ends of our life and our time and our attention and our desire and our longing. We can't long for other things and other stuff more than we long for him. And as we seek him and get after him, you'll find other things just fall away. So it's not a tussle between is it God, is it that. As we set our faces to know God, to seek him, to be like him, other things will just fall away and you become disinterested with stuff that you might be interested in at the moment because maybe There just needs to be a bit more hunger after God and an attention towards Him. When we meet on a Sunday, this place needs to take off on Sunday morning. And it has nothing to do with the people on the platform up here. It's all to do with who we are standing in a room in a little town called Horsham in the UK, in the world. It's all down to how we rock up on a Sunday because of what God's doing in your life and my life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because of how you and I as believers are plugging in to a relationship with the Almighty God, the Almighty Savior, the all-consuming fire, the all-consuming one. So what happens on Sunday is not just down to my prep or Jane's prayer or whoever's preaching or whoever's leading or whatever. It's down to how we all show up. Because how we show up on Sunday is probably how you're showing up on Monday in your world. How you show up on a Sunday is probably how you show up when pressure comes or challenges come. We can't put a Sunday spiritual hat on in our lives and suddenly expect God to do all kinds of things in a meeting or in a gathering if we're not plugging into God on our own. Some of you might think, I wish I hadn't come this morning. I wish I'd stayed at home or gone to another church on this particular day. But I can't deny what God's doing in me, and I can't deny who God's called us to be as a people, okay? So let's just, in a nutshell, do the platform for this message, because God wants to refire us as a church. He wants to refire you and me as individuals, but as a body of people. So when you don't know God, you're outside God, you're living in this life, which is separation from God, you're unsaved, you cannot please God at all here when you don't know Him. You're separated from Him, you're under judgment when you live here. Not because God wants to judge you, but when you're outside a relationship with God, you're outside of receiving His mercy that He wants to give so that you don't stay outside of relationship, but you come into relationship with Him. So when you're living in this life here, you're living separated from God, okay? And what that then means. So what did Jesus do? Jesus came to bring us out of this separation into relationship with Him. And God was so passionate about you and me, about people, that He was prepared to say, I'm even prepared to go to the cross and die and take all the punishment of sin and death and hell on my body, on this life. I'm prepared to go through hell in order to bridge the gap to enable salvation to take place for an individual then to come into a relationship with God, into a relationship with the Father, to know Him as Father, to know Him as Lord, to know Him as Savior, to know Him as friend, to know Him as lover, to know Him as peace, to know Him as trust, to know Him as well-being, to know Him as deliverer, to know Him as freedom, to know Him as the healer, to know Him as peace, to know Him as kindness, gentleness, love, graciousness, to know Him as restorer, to know Him as total fulfillment, to know Him in such an intimate way, right? And so He brings us out of all the turmoil of this and brings us into an incredible place of rest in Him. So He takes us out of that and brings us into this. But what does He fill us with when we come into this life of rest with Him? Let's have a look at a few verses. Exodus 24. Let's just have a look and see. You don't get a lot of this in the New Testament because God's not, doesn't come across in the same way in the New Testament in terms of what we're going to read now. He does in the sense of how Jesus met with Him. But let's just read some of these verses. Exodus 24. This is when Moses is going to be going up onto the mountain to meet with God. And in verse 13, it says, then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. So when Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it. All right, just picture that. He's going up to up the mountain that represented the mountain of the Lord for him in that moment, okay? And he's going up there, and it says the mountain was covered with a cloud. and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. So he's coming up to meet with God, right? So let's just use that as a middle kind of seat or chair or whatever. He's going up to meet with God. So this is the mountain of Mount Sinai. It's covered in a cloud, but then the glory of the Lord, the manifested presence of God, begins to be released. So when he goes up in the mountain, it's not just a sense of the presence of God. It's not just a sense of, well, God's around somewhere, this is nice. The glory of God is when God reveals who he is. He reveals, he manifests himself. He reveals who he is. There's something tangible going on here to encounter with Moses, to meet with Moses, okay? So it says, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. Wow, how awesome is that? The glory of the Lord settled. Imagine being Moses at that moment. You know, God says, come up and meet with me. And you go up, or he says, I want to spend time with you. Come, you know, take some time out. And you go in your lounge or your bedroom or your study or wherever, you know, you take some time out. And he says, I want you to come up on my mountain or spend time with me. So you go up there and imagine the glory of the Lord just coming upon you and the glory of God just being revealed in that moment. And then what does it say? It says, and the glory of the Lord settled. Imagine the glory of God settling on you. You'd be completely engulfed, wouldn't you? Yeah. We'd be consumed. We'd be just encapsulated. It would be a bit of a moment, wouldn't it? Where you're completely caught up with who he is. It's not just a sense of his presence in a meeting. Well, I lift my hands and is Jesus here today? Is the worship going all right? Are they doing a good job or not? Are we singing well enough or whatever? Is God here yet? You know, it's not a presence of the Lord feeling like that. It's being completely consumed in that moment in the light of who he is. There isn't a word in the English to describe the kind of light of who God is. John has a go in Revelation, doesn't he? When he tries to describe that it was like he was white as snow. It was like just the brilliance of light. He can't find the word, so he said, it is like. You know, not it was this, it is like that. And so Moses comes into this moment and God begins to reveal who he is. And the glory of the Lord settles on him. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain. Wow, how awesome would that be? Imagine being in the revealed presence of God like that for 6 days. I mean, he comes down the mountain glowing, doesn't he? I think all of us would be glowing, wouldn't we? But then it says here, for 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and the seventh day the Lord called Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, this is it, listen to this. To the Israelites who were down at the bottom, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. His glory down there, when they looked at the mountain, so there was this cloud, his glory was, he was there meeting with Moses. But to the Israelites, it looked like the mountain was on fire, like a consuming fire. In the Bible often calls describes God as the all-consuming fire. We see that in Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about, let us approach God with reverence and with awe. Let's worship him in reverence and in awe, for he is the consuming fire. We see, as we go into this, so this is how they saw him, this all-consuming fire. So when God reveals who he is, there's a consuming that takes place in our lives at that moment. So when we get saved out of this, out of being separated from God and then brought into relationship with him, what is it that he puts on the inside of us? Now, we know that he puts his life on the inside. We come into Christ and Christ comes into us. We also get saved into the body of Christ. So we don't just get saved as individuals and now I have my own relationship with God, full stop. Yes, we have that, but we're also saved into the body of Christ. So we become part of the church, part of the body. So then there's things that God does in our lives as part of the church because he's called the church for a purpose. Yeah. Firstly, that the church is called to glorify him. The church is called to know him as the one who is glory. Yeah. It's easy to settle for what we're happy with in our lives as a level of Christianity. We can set our own level of what we're happy with and what we're, you know, and maybe if we don't reach that sometimes, we get a bit upset with ourselves or a bit stirred because maybe we pop over to the self chair, this one every now and then, because we don't maybe live how we think we should and we've blown it and we feel a bit bad about ourselves. And we sometimes can set ourselves our own level of how we live with God or what our Christian life looks like. But we don't live in a way where, am I happy or am I not? What we want to say is, God, who are you? What are you like? I want to know you. I want to be like you. So I don't want to live in a way that I'm happy with. What I want to do is I want to live in a way that you're happy with, that you're pleased with, because I'm seeking after you. I want to know you and I want you to know me. But more than just knowing you, I want to be like you. And if I want to be like you, that means there might be some stuff you're going to challenge in me because I've got used to living in a certain way or in a certain level. And actually, God, I want you to reveal more of who you are, not just your presence, not just the feeling, because God's not here to satisfy our needs. We're here to glorify him. I don't know if Pastor Colin said this a couple of weeks ago. In this way, but you know, it's easy for Christians to think that God exists for our benefit rather than we're here firstly for his and to glorify him. And as we seek after him and glorify him and exalt him, then you live in blessing. You live in his goodness. That doesn't mean there aren't challenges. There isn't the stuff of life that we have to go through at times. But when we seek after him, something happens as a reciprocation from him to us, saying, I'm going to take care of you. I'll sort that one out for you. Because as we seek after him, saying, God, no, you're first, you're central, you're the one I want to sow my life into. And he says, right, as you're sowing your life into me, you're not going to outgive me, so I'm going to outgive you. So I'm going to make sure my favor goes before you. There's breakthroughs coming your way. You're going to receive this, move into that, live in the good of this. But we're not seeking him for those things. We're seeking him to know him. But then as a church here, we're seeking to know him for his purposes to be revealed on the earth. John the Baptist puts it in a brilliant way, right? In Matthew, the beginning of Matthew. Just turn there to Matthew chapter 3. Are you guys doing right out there this morning? Matthew chapter 3. This is John the Baptist speaking about Jesus, verse 11. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with... He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with...
Fire.
Okay? So when we were saved out of this life into this one, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? But you're not just baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're also baptized with fire. Because when God puts his Spirit in you, he put himself on the inside of you. If he is the all-consuming fire, and the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, in the same way that Jesus, John the Baptist said, Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Because if the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and God is the all-consuming fire, then the Holy Spirit is not just going to come with a wind, he's going to come with fire to consume you. Oh, so many Christians, we live in a self-centered Christian life, where God's here to bless me, please me. I've got my shopping list. What's next? And we don't realize God is not just, the Holy Spirit's not just in you to give you another experience or to bless you. The Holy Spirit is in you so that God can be the all-consuming fire in our lives. I'm not just preaching to you lot this morning. I'm preaching to myself, to everybody out there. It's like God wants a church that he consumed with the fire of who he is. So Jesus, when he was baptized, came out of the water, he stood there and he looked up to heaven. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And it says the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. And what are doves? Doves are very, very sensitive, aren't they? I don't know if a dove literally came down or they just said it was like the way the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus was like a dove. in the way a dove moves. I wasn't there. None of us were either. So in my mind, it's more the Holy Spirit came in a real gentle way on him. But doves are very, very sensitive to any movement and, you know, will fly away very easily. And you imagine the Holy Spirit resting upon Jesus and how he was aware of the Holy Spirit and wanted to walk sensitively, walk intimately, because he didn't want to do anything that was then going to, the Holy Spirit was then going to, whoa, hang on a minute, you know. David in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, he cries out, doesn't he? Don't let your spirit depart from me. Some of the Old Testament guys had amazing revelation of God, didn't they? Even though they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them, they had amazing revelation of who God is. That they had this revelation that God is the all-consuming fire. I think there's a lot of Christians that have never met with God in his fire. A lot of Christians, we still treat God like a cosmic slot machine. So, I mean, I need something from God, so I'm going to pray. Or something suddenly is happening, so I better go and pray and all of that kind of stuff. And we want to be more mature than that as a church. And we need to be more mature than that to see God's purposes outwork through who we are as Kingdom Faith. That at the heart of that has got to be an intimate relationship with him, one that is passionate, but one that is fueled with the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So when we get saved into Christ, but we get saved into the body of Christ. But we, as a body, God wants us to be a people of his fire. So how do we do that? Because if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, okay, how do we live as a people of fire or who are consumed with who he is? Paul gives us the key or a clue when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 and 7. What does he say there? What does he say to anybody know? He says, fan into flame the gift of God that you received when I laid my hands on you. What was the gift of God? It was the Holy Spirit that he received when Paul laid his hands on him. But Paul says, fan into flame the gift of God. So how could he say fan into flame? Well, there must have been a flame on the inside of him. And if the Holy Spirit is not just the Holy Spirit, but he's also the Spirit of fire, Paul is saying to this guy, you haven't been given the spirit of fear or timidity, so there's something that will come against you to try and shut you down as a believer, as a Christian, that will want to stop you advancing and moving forward. So Timothy, what you need to do is fan into flame the gift of God. You need to fan into flame the fire of God that is on the inside of you. That's something that you do, I do personally. We can encourage one another to do that, but each one of us has a responsibility in our lives to fan into flame. How do we fan into flame? There's different ways we do that. Sometimes, you know, when we come in here on a Sunday, one way you can fan into flame is no matter what's going on, you decide, I'm going to praise God anyway. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing in my row, I'm going to lead the worship on my row then. Or the people behind me, they're going to see my hands in the air and I'm going for it. And they're going to be like, wow, something's that. What's up with him? Or the people in front are like, man, who's that singing behind me out of tune? But they're obviously going for it, you know. Because if I was standing behind you, you'd be saying, who on earth is that standing, you know, behind me that's singing out of tune? And you'd say, that's Pastor Clive because he can't sing. So, but what happens when you rock up on a Sunday and you begin to release something? Something gets released in here. In your own home, what do you do when you're the releaser? You determine what happens in your home. You determine what happens in the world you're living in by who you are, how you connect with God, and how you fan into flame the gift of God on the inside of you. Nobody else can do that for you. How much do you pray in tongues? Praying in tongues stirs up that gift, stirs up that flame, fans into flame that gift on the inside of you, the gift of the Holy Spirit and fire. So Paul's saying to Timothy, some people, you know, because of what is written about Timothy, say maybe he's quite timid and all of that kind of stuff. But in Ephesus then, when Timothy was leading the church, they reckon, if you look at history, they reckon in Ephesus at that time, the church was between 30 to 50,000 people in Ephesus at that time. And here's this guy who they reckon was in his late 20s, something like that, about 30 or so, when he was leading that. And so Paul is encouraging this guy, hey, look, the enemy wants to freak you out. The enemy wants to shut you down because there's tens of thousands of people that you're leading. This city is an apostolic hub for stuff going out all over the place, all over the world. And the enemy wants to come against you and shut you down with fear, with timidity. But you haven't got a spirit of fear and timidity. You've got one of power, love, and of a sound mind. So Timothy, continue to fan into flame. Continue to stir yourself up on the inside, because nobody else can do that for you. How you're doing is how you've decided you want to be doing. This is quite personal today for each one of us, because how you're doing is because you've decided to do how you're doing. Is that all right? That's not an easy word to hear, but how you are spiritually is where you've decided to be at this moment. Now, do we have a heart for God? Absolutely, otherwise we wouldn't be here. We'd be doing something else, playing golf or still in bed or down the coffee shop or playing football or something or whatever you'd be doing if you weren't here. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to fuel the fire of who He is on the inside of us. See, what does the glory of God look like in a church? It looks like a people on fire. When the Israelites looked up at the mountain where Moses was, they couldn't see him, but this cloud came, the glory of God filled it. To them, it looked like an all-consuming fire. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, I met somebody who's a leader of a church. They've seen amazing stuff happen. And he just asked me some questions. He was like, I want to know God in His glory, but I want to see His glory released and manifest, all this sort of stuff. And I said, well, what do you think that looks like? What does glory look like in reality? What does that look like? Say, we want to be a people of the glory. Well, what is that, you know? We want to know God in that way, but what does it look like being expressed? And he said a couple of things. And I said, well, what did the people, when they heard Jesus, what did they say about Jesus? And when he preached, what did they say? Where did you get that authority from? We've never heard anybody speak with such authority. Where did you get it from? It wasn't so much, wow, the words you said were amazing. They said, it was the authority by which he spoke. Where did he get that from? Well, in Matthew 17, with Peter, James and John, he took them up, and the story's called the Mount of Transfiguration. He wanted to show them something about his relationship with the Father. So when he went up the mountain, or they came with him, the glory of God came, and they freaked them out, you know, in terms of what they saw. But down from the mountain, what did the glory look like? It looked like authority. There was a mantle on Jesus' life. It was called the glory of God, but the glory of God is expressed in authority. What does authority do? It releases power. What happened when he came down from the mountain on that particular day? Some of the other disciples were trying to deliver a demon out of a boy and they couldn't do it. Jesus was a little bit, you know, he was like, oh, you know, unbelief, how much longer must I be with you? And all that sort of thing. That was really encouraging, wasn't it? But at that moment. But then he took authority over the thing and the boy was set free. Why? Because he'd been in the glory. What does it look like? Authority. And so what does that look like? It doesn't mean authoritarian. We go, oh, hallelujah, now I'm, you know. But there's something on you, a mantle that's at work on you and in you, that's God's weightiness, God's authority being released. So I believe as a church, we need to just stir up, fan into flame. Yeah, we can have a response this morning. But it's what we're going to do tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's things going on in our work worlds, in our lives. There's always challenges, always stuff that comes up. People that, you know, at work that aren't the easiest to get on with, or situations that arise, or pressure that happens at work for some reason because of, you know, a contract or a deadline and all those different things that are going on in our work world. Our witness and to in terms of how we are, but our witness in terms of what we say and everything, the authority by which we speak. God wants that to flow from this place of rest. But living in the great rest or in God's rest is not just, oh, that's all right. Everything's all right now. Living in the great rest is a place where you rise up. So you stay in a place of rest where it's not my effort. So I'm not going to be in a place of rest, get up and then try and live life in my own strength. What we're doing is we're living in this place of rest in our lives. Nobody sees that great rest in terms of your, you know, in terms of the glory bit. But what they see is an authority. What they see, that what they pick up is something about you that you're carrying. It's called the fire of God on the inside of you. The fire of God will deal with fear, intimidation, all of the, you know, the stuff that tries to hold us back in our lives. And finally, just before we pray, because there's a couple of other things we've got to do this morning. We're having communion. We're having the special offering this month towards the building getting sorted. What did Jesus do when he went into the temple that day and he saw all the things going on, the buying and selling of animals and the exchanging of money and all the things that were happening? He got a bit riled, didn't he, on the inside? And he cleared the temple, turned over the tables, and obviously it was quite a moment, wasn't it? Quite a thing to do in the midst of that culture and the pressure. But then he shouted out, or he said, you know, this is my Father's house. This is to be a house of prayer for all nations. Now, he was talking about a physical temple, one built in stone. But prophetically, what was he saying? He was actually talking about you and I, the living stones. He was saying, we don't want to give the temple that represented there to this buying and selling of this, that and the other and use it for trading to make, and all of these kind of things. Actually, the temple is here to be a God-centered, throne-centered place. And so prophetically, he says to us that I've called you to be a living stone. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And what's the verse that some of the disciples thought about in John 2:17? They remembered as he was doing it. Wow, there's that verse in the Psalms that said, zeal for your house will consume me. Zeal for your house will consume me. And they remember it, and it's like, wow, Jesus is being pretty zealous at the moment. But God is a jealous God. He is zealous and jealous. And he's jealous for you and I. And he wants his zeal to consume us for this house, the house that he has now made his home in, a place of habitation. The all-consuming one is on the inside of you and I. And he wants us to be living as people of habitation with the all-consuming fire on the inside of us. So let's stand together, shall we? And just take a few moments to just to pray and respond. Then we're gonna receive communion together and just pray through communion, because God is a zealous God and he's a jealous God. He withheld absolutely nothing. If the service can get ready, that'd be great. He withheld absolutely nothing from our lives, because he wanted to not just put his Holy Spirit in us, but he wanted to put the spirit of fire on the inside of us, so that we'd be consumed with who he is. You know, you remember the story when Jesus, after he was resurrected, he was on the earth for 40 days. He was walking along one day with two of the disciples. They didn't realize who he was. And he started asking them some stuff. And obviously he was opening up the word to them. And then when they got to the house where they were going to go to, they invited him in. And it was only when he broke bread that they suddenly realized who he was. And then he disappeared. And they said in that moment, they said, when he was opening the scriptures on the road, how our hearts burned within us. How our hearts burned within us. And so we're going to respond and pray today. And it's like, by basically saying, God, where I've just settled to live at a level I've chosen to, I want to take the lid off. where I've chosen to set up walls around my life and how I'm happy with in terms of living as a Christian, God, I want those walls to come down today. Father, where I've just settled to live the life that I... Because so often we say to live my life. Well, part of the gospel is we don't have a life any longer that belongs to us. Our life belongs to Jesus Christ now. The Bible says that our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. The price was the blood of Jesus being shed, his body being absolutely lambasted, you know, through what went on before the cross and hanging on the cross. That he's purchased us with his blood. We don't belong to it. We belong to him. And that's this life here, right? But not having a life of your own, the flesh says, oh my word, I hate that. I can't deal with that. Your spirit goes, that's exactly what I want. I want to live that life where I'm dead to self. I'm not trying to resurrect and try and live in my own strength in any way. But actually, I want God to be Lord. I want him to rule and reign. I want to be like Jesus. Actually, it's not going to restrict me or give me a tough life or try and reach holiness. But actually, it's going to be liberating and freeing, living who I am as a son of God, as a child of God, living who I've been called to be. I'm going to live in freedom, live in total world, and I'm going to live in a fruitful, fulfilled life. So let's just close our eyes for a moment. Maybe part of your response this morning, firstly, might be, oh, I don't know if I want to be here this morning, Father. This word's challenging. Some of you might be thinking, well, that's all right, Clive, you know, great. But God wants us to live consumed with him. If we're consumed with other things more than him, then we need to reorientate some things today. If we're consumed with other things, if he is not central and everything flows from that, then we need to bow our knee in our hearts and lives. Say, God, I'm sorry that I've raised other things above you. If your work is more important, you need to reorder some things. First, it's got to be done in your heart first. If you're just your life, your home life, and what you're going for, what you're spending your money on, what you're looking to get next or buy next or whatever it is, I don't know, for you, whatever's going on, if those things take up your thinking time, your social time, your free time, your whatever, and that God is, I don't know where God comes in. Maybe you're like, I'm building my life on him like a platform. Great. But I don't know about you, but God's been challenging me over the last few weeks, particularly this week. He's been challenging me in a fresh way. What am I central, Clive, in everything? Does everything in your life flow from me? Jesus went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit after being baptized. He came out in the power of the Holy Spirit when the enemy tempted him. He came out, he had victory over the enemy and all that stuff. He wasn't just full, he lived in the power of. God wants you to live in the power of his Holy Spirit. We had an amazing time Wednesday night at a VIP. Powerful evening. Worship, encounter, the fire of God. Just it was a powerful time. I want to encourage you, when we have those times, let's be here together. It's not Clive wants us to come to a meeting. It's about his purposes. It's about who he's called us to be. I know sometimes people can't make it for babysitting and things like that. That's fine practically. But let's not make a decision in your heart. I don't even think about going to those. Because God's purposes are not just going to be worked out through a few people. If God's called you to be here, then you're part of working out his purposes. And if you need to make some adjustments in your life, then you need to make those adjustments. You need to do them with him. You need to go away from this morning, go and sit down with God and say, God, where are you in my life? Are you really number one? Are you really the central heartbeat of my life? Or have I settled to a point where you're there in my life and I've just got used to living as a Christian in a certain way, but am I really being fueled by the fire of the Holy Spirit? Joshua's army started with 30-something thousand, it ended up being 300, and God did what he wanted to do. One of the revivalists said, set yourself on fire with passion and let the world come and watch you burn. The world needs a church that is on fire. Fire's attractive. Fire gets people's attention. Fire comes. Everything, you know, if people aren't saved, their lives are dry spiritually. All they need is somebody with a bit of fire and boom, something's going to happen. I don't know what's happening around your life, how fruitful you are. This is a pretty sobering morning this morning. I'm sorry I can't put it in a different way. This is about my life as well. What's happening around my life? It's like, God, if I really am a person of your fire, what is happening around my life where other people are getting caught on fire as a result? If it's not, then God, something's not right in me. Start with me. Revive me. Would you do something new and fresh in me? But God, I want to get a hold of you in a fresh way. I thank you for the fire of your Holy Spirit that is in me. I want to fan that into flame through worship, through seeking you, through knowing you, having a heart after you. I want to go after you like I never have before. Some of you might be thinking, I don't know when I've got time for that. Man, if you haven't got time to seek after God, you need to make some readjustments and make time for him to be central once again in your heart and in your life. Because there's too much at stake here. Part of the mandate we have on our lives, we're not here for ourselves and just to bless a few people. We're here to see God's revival purposes impact a nation of part of what he's doing through other churches around the nation or whatever. We're just part of that picture. But we want to make sure that that part of the picture is on fire so that he can join up, however he wants to join us up with other parts of the picture that are on fire. So this nation has a fresh move of God that none of us have ever seen or known in our lives. Lifetimes. I don't want to look at past moves of God and say, wouldn't it be great to have that once again? No, God, do something new in our day. Do something new in our time. And would you start with me and stir me up in a fresh way? Because I want to live in the fire of who you are. I want your all-consuming nature and character to consume me so that I'm consumed with you, Father, and not anything else or anybody else. And as we're consumed in that way, things then happen around our lives. So maybe you just need to talk to the Lord this morning. God, I've not lived on fire. I've not lived with you being the consuming one. Forgive me for that. Father, I thank you. You're stirring me this morning. You're stoking me with your word and by your spirit. Thank you. You've been shaking me and rattling me this morning. Thank you. You've prodded me today. Just thank him for doing that. Hopefully it has been a bit of a prodder for you. God is a good God, right? But he's also an all-consuming fire. You know, God isn't just a lovey-dovey thing. You know, God is an all-consuming fire. He is awesome. We need to come in him in reverent adoration. We're here for him. We're here for him. We're here to serve him. We're here to bring him glory. We're here to know him first. And he reciprocates and will do whatever he's doing in our lives. But we're here first and foremost. God, I want to know you and I want to be like you. How many of you want to know him? We do know him, but I want to know him. How many of you want to be like him? If that's an invitation for him to come and work in your life, to go deeper. God, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. I want to be like you. God is holy. His nature is holy. I want to be like you. I want to be holy. I want to live holy. I want my mind to be holy. I want my thoughts to be holy. I want my actions to be holy. I want my lifestyle to be holy. I want everything to be holy. Why? Because he is holy. And if we're saying, God, I want to be like you, we're saying, God, I want to live holy. I don't want to entertain stuff. I don't want to entertain this, that. I don't want to entertain compromise. I don't want to entertain this, that. God, I want to live holy. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe just in your heart, just bow afresh to him. Father, I just surrender afresh to you right now. My thoughts, my mind, my attitudes, my motives, longings, my time, my bank account, home, cars, possessions, stuff, everything. God, I surrender afresh to you. Would you do with my life what you want to do with my life? Surrender your work world, your business, wherever you are. Whatever you're doing in this season, just surrender it afresh. Your home life, your family, your kids, just surrender it afresh. Hopefully you're talking to the Lord and not just thinking something this morning. Just verbalize what's going on in your heart. I don't know, some of you might be struggling saying, I don't like this message today. I don't like the way he said it or what he said and all of that kind of stuff. If you can just look past the way I might have said it or, you know, all of that, but just look at him this morning as the all-consuming fire and just measure your life to him at this moment. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation today. It's just a prodding stick from the Holy Spirit saying, hey, church, come on. There's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. There's more of who I am. There's more of the life and the power and the fire of who I am. There's more that I want to do, more that I want to do. Don't settle for anything less than my best, but your lives must be centered around me if you're going to see the best that I have for you, whether it's personal or together as a body. I've got to be central. I've got to be central. Got to be central. So, Father, as we just come to receive communion today, Father, we surrender afresh right now. We thank you, Jesus, you made it possible for us to be throne room people, to be people of all-consuming fire. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your body for us. You shed your blood for the forgiveness of sins. And that you said, when we eat and drink of this meal, we're to remember you, remember who you are, what you've done, so that we live in the good of who we are in you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. Do you guys want to just begin to share out of communion? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Toast. You want to come up with? Just surrender afresh as you eat and drink this morning. As you eat and drink this morning, just surrender afresh. Whatever that looks like in your life, just surrender that afresh to him. Whatever might be number one, wherever you might have just settled, just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, in these days, in these next days, over these coming weeks, would you stir me in a fresh way? I don't want to live unstirred. I just choose to take the lid off, the walls down. I give you permission, Holy Spirit. Take a hold of what belongs to you in a fresh way. Take a hold of what belongs to you in a fresh way. Would you take a hold of this that belongs to you in a fresh way? Just invite me. If that's your heart, if that's what you want. But we've got to pick up the pace as a church a bit more in these days. We've got to pick up the tempo of the Holy Spirit. We've got to move at God's pace, not at our pace. We must move at the pace of the Holy Spirit and the things he wants to do in us and through us. We cannot move at our own pace. God doesn't live at your pace or my pace. He lives at his pace, and he puts his Holy Spirit in us to enable him to live and walk with him at the pace that he is moving at. He constantly encourages us, speaks into our lives and lifts our head, but also there are times when he says, hey, come on guys, come on, come on, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more of me, there's more to see. I want a great release of my life in you, a great release of the fire of who I am on the inside of you. So just plug in afresh, get a hold of me afresh. I will not disappoint. I will not look away, but I'm going to move towards you as you move towards me. I'll move towards you as you reach out to me. I'll reach into you. As you stretch out to me, I'll stretch into you. As you seek me, you will find me. As you seek me, you will know me. As you hunger after me, I will meet you at that point of hunger and satisfy that hunger. And that hunger will produce a greater hunger. And as you then seek after me, I'll meet with you at that point of hunger. And as I meet with you at that point of hunger. You'll have a greater desire to know me. Then I'll meet with you. And it goes on and on and on as I reveal more and more of who I am into your life. And as a church, Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Just received this morning's message as a holy prodding stick encouragement. If there's any way, it's like, well, the way you said this or the other wasn't very helpful. Don't take offense or get upset with that. See beyond the delivery just this morning if you can, and the heart that God has for you and I to be consumed with his fire. We haven't got time in our lives, let alone as a church, to be meddling with this, that, and the other, or living at half-hearted or at a pace that suits us. It's like, no, we've got to move at God's pace, God's pace, God's pace. Thank you, Jesus. 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 If there is anybody here today and you don't know Jesus, I just want to give you the opportunity to respond to him. You might be here this morning thinking, wow, that's pretty full on. That bloke up there, he's, whoa, you know. But God is an all-consuming fire. God will not make the gospel acceptable to us, to bring it down to our level, so that we then say, well, that's acceptable to me. Yes, I'll respond to what I find acceptable. As people, we're unacceptable to God. We cannot reach God in our own efforts and strength. It's impossible. So he came down to us. He came out of heaven and lived on earth as a man, as God in man in human form. And he came to reveal who God is, who the Father is. Because we can't reach God on our own. So he came down to us, and through his amazing, unfailing love, he hung on the cross there saying, I'll take everything that has separated you from me, sin, pain, shame, isolation, guilt, all of that on myself, so that you can put all of the stuff that's on your life onto me, and I'll take all of that so that you can be forgiven, you can be cleaned up, you can be made right with God and have an incredible relationship with the all-consuming fire. But it will mean everything. It will mean absolutely everything in your life. It will mean it's all or nothing with God. We either surrender absolutely everything or don't do it. That's what it means to be a Christian. I surrender my life. I lay my life down. Life is not about me. And I give my life now to you, God. It belongs to you. You bought this life on the cross with the price of your blood. And so it's all or nothing to be a Christian. It's not a popular message. It's all or nothing to be a Christian. It's either everything or don't do it. And wait to that moment where in your heart you're like, God, I want to give you absolutely everything. Because God doesn't want half-hearted people. He wants your whole heart. And as you give him your whole heart, your whole life, he then gives him the whole of himself into you. And you'll find think or reorientation happens in your life at that moment. And suddenly you'll find God in your life and a hunger after God. Because he puts himself and a hunger in you to know him. If there's anybody like that today and you don't know God and you're like, flip, whoa, that's pretty full on message. But there's something on the inside of me that's going, that's what I want. I don't understand it all. That's okay. You don't have to understand it all. You just have to have a thing on the inside of you, a hunger, a longing, a question that just says, God, I don't know you, but I know I need to know you. I want to know you. If that's you today, just tell him that straight. God, I don't know you. I want to know you. I give you my life. Would you take it? Anybody's praying that today, I'd love to talk with you, chat with you afterwards, love to pray with you afterwards, because God wants to meet with you. Well, I know we've gone well over time. Father, I just thank you for your grace upon us as a church. I know it's pretty quiet in here. I don't know if that's because you're all upset with me or because you're just like, flipping heck, that was pretty full on today. But I don't believe it's a message where we all just suddenly make loads of noise at the end. We're all shouting, saying, God, give me the fire, give me the fire, give me the fire. I believe it's a sobering word today that we all need to go home and actually spend some time responding to. Not from a place of, not like this, okay, when you get home. Not like, flip me, that was a heavy word today. Oh my word, what was that all about? I went to get a bit of encouragement and I walked into a boxing ring. That was unbelievable this morning. I'm glad Clive's going to Israel tomorrow with Jane and they're not going to be around next weekend. That's brilliant. I'm not going to hear him for a couple of weeks. That at least I can chill out and rest for a bit. Oh, don't sit there like that or go like that. Just when you get alone with God, right? This, I want to encourage you to do this. Maybe don't even sit down and think about it too much, because the enemy loves to jump on and go, oh, condemnation, because he condemns, God doesn't, right? Maybe when you get on your own, this is what I would do. I would go into wherever, in my lounge or whatever, and I'd look up to heaven, hands raised. Start, look at him, don't look at yourself. You look at yourself, you'll always get cheesed off. That's what I find with me. If I look at myself, it's depressing. Whereas when you look at Jesus, it's like, wow, you're amazing. And so I want to encourage you when you get home is maybe lift your hands, say, God, do something new and fresh in me. I want to set my heart and my face and my life to seek after you and to know you. Holy Spirit, would you take hold afresh of what is yours? Don't look for a feeling. Don't look for an experience. Just make a decision. God, I just set my heart and my life in a fresh way towards you. Holy Spirit, would you take hold of me? And I want you to begin to burn in me in a new way, in a fresh way. A hunger to know you, to be like you, a hunger for your word. I want to seek you and know you. Would you take hold of me in a fresh way? Let's go, Jesus. Let's go. That's the best response you could have. And he'll begin to respond to that and do something with you. Amen. Come on, let's just raise our hands, shall we? Maybe just say that to the Lord right now. God, take a hold of me afresh. Do what you want to do in me. I thank you that you lead me by your Holy Spirit. Thank you I don't have to do this in my own strength. I thank you you've prodded me, you've challenged me this morning, but also encouraged me to get a hold of you in a fresh way. Father, I thank you that you lead me by your Holy Spirit. Greater hunger to know you, to be like you, and to serve you, and to walk with you. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your awesome, mighty name. Let's give God a great shout of praise. Come on, let's thank him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. There's Horsham that needs to be reached, a 25-mile radius that needs the fire of God, a nation that needs the fire of God. And God has called us to be part of that. Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name. Just turn to somebody else, say, I needed that. And now say to them, you needed that.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.